doing all this with one hand tied behind my back. Yeah, okay. That's me. Playing with my drum machine and playing with my synthesizer live. Today we're talking with Govinda on No Religionistas podcast. Let me put this on autopilot. All right, now I'm not even doing anything with my hand. I should have videotaped that so you could see how I start the show. All right, let's calm down here and let's get on with get on the internet. I'm not even on the internet yet. We're gonna go to Sri Lanka, war torn, my new home. Govinda said I would have slightly more acceptance than I do here, but only slightly. That would be compared to what? Nothing. All right, let me get on with it here. Come on. I've got to get into what's it called? Google Talk. Boom. There we go. Signing in. Yeah, man. All right, let's see if we can get Govinda. Beep, we're calling all the way to Sri Lanka. Ah! Hello.
Hey, hello.
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah, wow. No, I just wanted you to see if you can hear this. You might not be able to.
No, I can't hear it.
Okay, what is it? It's music that I'm going to turn it off now.
Okay, that's enough of that.
All right. No, see, what I was doing is I was using my... oh, yeah, this is recording. Good. I was using my synthesizer and my drum synthesizer. There are two boxes on either side of me. One is on one side of me and one's on the other. So that I should do a YouTube of this because I was basically playing one with the left hand, one with the right, and then I put it into a syncopated thing, you know, a loop on one and a loop on the other, and then I went hands free and it's just making music on its own without me involved.
Yeah, that's the wave of the future.
Well, this is actually old school. This stuff is that I'm using is really from, you know, the I prefer to go old school. Like, for example, using my drum synthesizer. It's a Roland, kind of a what they call a hand sonic. It's really a hand drum, plays congas and tablas, and it's got foot pedals. It's pretty weird contraption. It also has a thing where you can set it up on a loop, like, you know, I'd say playing the samba, and it will just play a samba with, you know, congas and bongos, and you know what I mean? It's got all those sounds kind of built in. It's kind of fun for those people that like synthesizers in the box, which I know, you know, some of us do. So,
yeah, I started playing a little bit around with that FL Studio 8 now.
Excellent equipment, excellent software, I should say.
Yeah, it's fun actually. I mean, it's pretty neat that for about $100 you can actually start making some of your own beats. And
same with Acid Music Studio. It's I think $79.95, and you can just start. You know, if you have loops, you just start painting your loops in, and pretty soon you have a beat. You know, and then you can do some rap. Are you there? Did I lose you? Govinda, I seem to have lost him, folks. No, it says we're still on the call, so I'm not sure. He's probably not quite sure what is happening. Check 1, 2. All right, I'm going to call you again. Calling again. Govinda is... They cut him off. You see that, folks? They cut him off from Sri Lanka because they're mean. And, you know, they're mean out there. You know, this is the real world here we're dealing with. And no, I'm not getting through. No, I'm not getting through. You had Govinda. I have a lot of questions to ask him about war-torn Sri Lanka and how long he's going to stay there. you know, given the situation. But no, we're not somehow. Okay. All right. Looks like we got him. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah. I'm here. I don't know what happened there.
You got disconnected.
Surprise.
Yeah. You got disconnected. And the reason why you got disconnected is because you're a Jesus freak and you haven't been martyred yet.
Yeah, with time.
But understand that they see what people, they believe. Look, if you're really into Christ, you know, you suffer, you get martyred, you get treated, you know, terribly, no matter what country you're in. Now, they got rid of martyrdom in the United States, as you know. And they got rid of martyrdom in Europe, as you know. You're well aware of that. There is no martyrdom here.
Hmm. Yeah, not overtly. I don't know what else goes on behind the scenes there, but
I mean, there is no, you know, it's
yeah. But it's not like China. It's not like a lot of these places in Asia now.
No, there is no martyrdom here, and the reason why is because, you know, once you're on Satan's side, there's no martyrdom anymore. That's the only reason. If they were really Christians, there would be martyrdom. That's that simple. There would be persecution and martyrdom. We would expect to see all of that. We see none of it here.
Yeah, you know, I actually this morning I was even just praying for the states some, and just, I mean, it's you know, I really hope for a better day back in America. I really hope for, you know, a day when the true church rises up there and you know, I mean, I really hope for that, you know. I really...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, this life really is short, and God has so much in store for a life and an experience and a time here, and it's really, you know, it's a shame that most people will check 15, 20 years off just going on a half day once a week somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, the reason they don't want martyrdom is because they do want all the benefits of being in a club. And so that... You know, they want to be in a club and lord it over other people. So have the club, have it be bait and switch satanity, and then basically go around with the Jesus sticker, you know, in order to make it look like it's all right and everything is beautiful, just like the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Olympics. There's a great whitewash.
Oh, it looks wonderful this year.
They've done a tremendous job on this one.
Yeah, and you know, you've been an athlete, you're a swimmer. What do you think so far of what you've seen?
I got some friends actually competing in this one too. So I'm just keeping an eye out for them, and it's kind of fun watching them out there. And it's quite a production. I mean, actually, you know, this is Beijing's. I mean, China's kind of. Yeah. Showcase to the world,
right?
But there's, you know, there's some other stuff too. But this is, I mean, you killing 80 million people over the last of their own people over the last 59 years.
Boy, are my arms tired?
You know, but we'll have a big show. Actually, you know, the interesting thing with Beijing is, I mean, the lockdowns and the controls that they've got set up there. I mean, you can't, if you want to, you can't just like go to China and say, okay, now I'm going to take a nice trip out of all around China. I mean, there's people even in China that are not allowed to come to Beijing. A ton of people that couldn't, you know, weren't allowed to come to the city until after this thing's done. So
they really
have the lockdowns on what's happening there.
Well, yeah, we understand that there's people that are not allowed. Like, for example, internet sites, our site is banned in China.
Yeah. Oh,
along with many others, but anything that deals with conspiracy or Christianity or any, you know, anything like that is banned.
Yeah.
Well, as we would expect.
Well, they have, I mean, it's the controls that they have on their people are extensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, because it's not, you know, there's one government there. It's one party, one choice. You know, you've got one flavor, and that's vanilla. So, you know, that's what they're working with over there. But, you know, a lot of it is propaganda. A lot of it is showcase. I mean, even now, what I heard from people from China that I know is that, you know, there's everything evens on a 30-second delay, even the live feeds. So if you remember, like, in the States, they did that with those award shows, because every now and then you get some drunk rocker up there, and he'd stand up behind the mic, and he'd say something that they're like, oh, shoot, I wish he didn't say that.
Bush is in the Illuminati. Yeah, Bush is in the Illuminati, and we're against it.
Yeah, exactly. So they did this.
You know,
thing
Bush is in the Bush is skull and bones. How can you support that? He's not a Republican.
Oh gosh. Oh yeah, I saw him on the TV too. And actually, the funniest thing is that
he's running a war.
Sitting right behind him.
Yeah.
And they were all up in the bleachers, you know, the nosebleed sections.
Mm-hmm. He's running a war. What's brilliant about what's going on right now, I don't think people have an appreciation. If put on your military hats, everybody, because I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to think I'm being callous or crass, but just looking at it from a military point of view, brilliant job in Georgia by getting Russia tied up in Georgia during the Olympics, and then having Bush travel over to China to kind of hang out with the volleyball team, and hang out with the softball, with the girls softball and girls volleyball, hang out with the girls, right? While this war is being prosecuted in tying Russia up so that this huge armada that's going over, to take out Iran, that's all going on while Bush looks like he's in China, and while it looks like we have no involvement in Georgia, which is our ally. So I know it's going to be expensive. You know, having Georgia go ahead and attack and, you know, and incur the Russian wrath. And, you know, there's a couple thousand of them dead. So they're going to exact a great payment from us down the road. But probably we made a deal with them, you know. And all of this, while the Iranian situation is looking very dire right now, and then Beijing's going off without a hitch. I mean, you know, beautiful mind control, right? Brilliant military strategy.
Yeah, these guys have a pretty good lock on the world's information, so.
Yeah, I mean, but prosecuting a war on two fronts or three fronts while the Beijing thing's going on and then having Bush there rather than in the bunker in the White House is awesome. I can see why the generals get millions of dollars. Right? That why they're personally wealthy. I'm seeing a little, you know, usually we're used to the United States being stupid, but now I'm seeing some brilliance. So I'm actually, but I hate war and I hate people dying. I just, looking at it just purely from a strategic point of view, it's kind of interesting.
Well, and also a business standpoint, all these guys are locked in with the same, you know, they I mean, the commissions that they get on everything, the contracts that are there. You see a smaller version of this in Sri Lanka, but right. I mean, on the large scale, it's just commerce.
Right, just doing business as, you know, and that's what's being worked out behind the scenes with respect to Russia, Iran, Afghanistan, and Georgia. And don't forget that with Georgia, we have the pipeline, the oil pipeline, which the Russian planes are bombing, and that they're bombing oil that comes here. Would there be oil companies wanting to keep their profits up by having those pipelines bombed here and in Nigeria? Absolutely. So we get Russia to do it, to keep, because we're worried. Last week, the oil prices fell bigger than they have fallen in years. I mean, percentage-wise, they fell out of bed. They were collapsing by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden we're bombing, or Russia, our friend, is bombing the pipeline, which will send the prices back up. It's beautiful. They've got, I mean, it's brilliant. God's not going to do anything because he's not really ready yet to do anything. So we watch.
I right now I'm watching so many of the things going on as well, and it's just amazing too that most people, I don't know what they're thinking, what they're involved with, but then Zeth too. Also, I mean, what do people do? You know, I mean, so much of this stuff is beyond their scope, their involvement, their ability to affect. But
they can't appreciate it on any level. Even if they're worldly, they can't appreciate just how brilliant the world is. And if you look at the Olympics and how slick it is and how beautifully orchestrated and the commercials and the camera angles and the direction and the pomp and circumstance, the whole thing is a campaign to say, look how beautiful the world is.
Yeah. That much I can definitely see.
Look how beautiful these young athletes are. Look how beautiful all that flesh is. And they make you think like you too, at your over 40 easy chair, you too could get out there and have a great body like that and go compete.
Well, my coverage in Sri Lanka, I got one channel that shows, you know, a few hours in the morning and a few hours in the late afternoon. So I don't have the 8-channel coverage like in the States with everything that. So I'm just happy for what I get over here. But it is an amazing production.
I just have NBC, you know, so I get what they feed me. But as far as I'm concerned, yeah, the mind control is if you watch the TV and you're not prayed up, you will get sucked in. Either A, you're going to feel suicidal, or B, you're going to feel like, yeah, what's wrong with the world? Maybe that was all a mistake, thinking it was all satanic and all that. Maybe it's a pretty good place to be, darn it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like even that Great Wall, I was talking to a friend the other day who's from China, and they were doing some cleanup work, you know, around the Great Wall some not too long back.
Yeah.
And they started doing, just towards the outside. They just started digging down a little bit on the outside side of the wall. And they went down, I think it was like about a meter, and then all of a sudden they started hitting human bones. And they started digging, and then they kept going 1 meter, 2 meter, 5 meter,
wow.
10 meters down, and all the way down, up until 10 meters, and then they just kept finding human bones.
Wow, you're breaking
years and years and years.
You're breaking some news tonight.
And then finally it just freaked the people out, you know, that were there, and they said, you know, who can work? You know, who can? I mean, that wall's been built on blood, and then all the people too that tried to invade and all that kind of stuff that went on over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's one big gravestone.
it's one big massive tombstone that you can see from outer space.
Yeah, and it's basically there signifying bloodshed, human rights abuse, and torture, and death, and reveling in blood. And warlordism, if you will, and all of that. Now they're riding bicycles peacefully up the part of the Great Wall on a bicycle race.
Yeah.
People are stupid.
Well,
I mean, okay, I understand the need that the world wants to cover it all up and wants to put its best foot forward, but basically it's a bloody mess, and what you see is a matrix of illusion. And so that's all I can say is don't go to the television unless you're really, really prepared to be dealt with. And that means the Christian stations especially stay away from them. They're worse than the Olympics. But the Olympics and, of course, just regular – I mean, I have to admit, I'm kind of a sucker for the Travel Channel because I feel that's like the most benign. But even that is promoting the world.
Yeah.
You'd see, I saw a program on gummy bears. Cute little candy gummy bears. I mean, how much mind control, how much danger would I be in watching gummy bears? But it got me depressed. It did get.
Yeah. Zeph, I think just the oppression right now is just heavy. I mean, this last 2 weeks has been just thick.
Well, the thing was, the debate was between organic gummy bears or regular gummy bears. And the guy who runs the gummy bear company said that the organic is worth the extra price. Why did it all get me depressed? Because I believed in gummy bears once upon a time. They represented childhood and work hard and, you know, you get a medal and be a good guy, tell the truth. And good things will happen to you. And, you know, if you work hard and are dedicated, you can have a a life with a family and a house and some ducks or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And all yeah. So that was all ruined. And then you say, well, okay, grow up. And then you say, oh, I see. Become a cynical bastard like the world with this fake exterior. And then that's growing up. And I'm like, how could anyone stand that?
Well, yeah, you know, I'd sometimes just wonder, though, too, if the truth of what this life is and what's going on here is just too much mm-hmm. for most people to want to have to deal with. And so they sedate themselves or medicate themselves or do whatever they have to avoid dealing with what reality really is.
I think that's why I like horror movies, because it reminds me what reality is. In other words, that the world is a very brutal, uncompromising, unfair place that we are kind of thrown into and asked to get along. And you're aware of that if you're really sold out to the Lord. You know, you're more aware of it because the world has a kind of an anathema thing. You know, you have to sell out God in order to be accepted by them. So if you're walking around with God, they tend to attack, which then keeps you vigilant and, you know, as Peter said, sober and vigilant, and you start knowing your enemy.
Yeah.
And you know him as the enemy.
Well, yeah, there is a plus side to all of this this attack, this hardship, the things that we face. Mm. And that's something, too, that God's just kind of even been speaking to me about and just showing me. Because, so often what happens, and I've noticed this, too, is just, you know, we want, when we're in the middle of it, we want out. But the need is to go through. And, and I think even, there's still an audio I got to put up on Faith Mix sometime soon.
We're going to get into that in a sec.
It takes a while to get there. even with all these athletes that are there at the Olympics, I mean, they've gone through a lot of physical pain in the natural to prepare their bodies and to condition themselves for the race that they're in the middle of right now.
Yeah, you see them afterwards, with ice taped to their whole body, because that's how much it hurts.
Well, and we face on the spiritual level, though, especially in this the world that we're living in and the world that we're coming through. We go through, and God allows for that, but also it makes us sharp. It builds us. It strengthens us. Mm-hmm. You know, and to not seek to get out, but to really go through and to realize that God is taking us through and allowing for this stuff too.
My guest is Govinda from the island of Sri Lanka, a world away on the other side of the globe. And his website is called Faith Mix. That's a great name for a website. Faithmix.com. There you've got audios, you've got written words, you've got interviews, you've got radio show and music all on one website. And how do you find that ministry going? Are you enjoying it, or what's happening with that?
Zeph, the reason actually that I think God kind of had me started is I remember actually it was a number of years back I was traveling in India. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was on this bus, and we were traveling through the night to go to this place where we were having an all-night prayer meeting, and then we were going to be coming back. And I remember I was sitting next to this guy, and while I was sitting next to this guy, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happening on the bus. There's, you know, people were manifesting. One guy was getting into a fight with another guy, and there's all kinds of stuff happening around us. But I was sitting next to this guy, and we just started talking, and then pretty soon we were talking about life and reality, and then we started talking about Jesus. And, you know, before we stopped, before we, you know, finished our trip, you know, this guy wanted to give his heart to the Lord, and he wanted just to know Jesus and to walk with him. And, I mean, so it was just a divine encounter. And I remember when I got off the bus, one of the guys that was part of this team that we were going with, he just said, you know, basically, you know, I mean, there's no way to really follow up with this guy. Or he said something along the lines of, you know, don't expect to see him in the kingdom, but something like that. But But the thing that I just thought at that time, too, is like I really just wish there was some way to keep up with people, you know, or just to give them something that would some stuff that would just give them a boost and just help them in their walk. And so I think what, even with Faith Mix, kind of how that started for me was just, just saying, okay, what can we put up there? What can we put out there that would help, people that are really seeking to walk with Christ? And so I think we've done a lot of a series, and a lot of that stuff's in the archives up there. But just, just trying to put information out there that would be helpful. And I mean, and, you know, we don't get anything out of this. I mean, it's purely a labor of love that we do this for people.
Right.
But my hope with this was too, like, if I ever, had, if I met that same guy again, and it was, the same situation again, that I would have had this site, and then all I would have to do is just give him that and just say, here, just, go ahead and go through whatever you'd like.
India, like Sri Lanka, is you have a large population of, well, you've got Hindus, obviously, and Buddhists, and Muslims in the majority compared to Christianity.
In India
and in Sri Lanka. I mean, they're both similar, are they not?
India's, the vast majority is Hindus. Sri Lanka,
the
majority religion is Buddhism.
Okay, Buddhism in Sri Lanka and Hinduism in, but you have a lot of Hindus. I mean, we run into them, and many of these have pursued God their whole lives. That's what they want. They're on that journey of wanting to find God. I mean, there's a great tradition in India of the only problem is that God is such a cornucopia, all these different faces and names and functions and celebrations
and spokespersons
and gurus, that's right, and avatars, real avatars. I mean, people that are, God on earth, and they're going to tell you exactly who God is and what God expects in their ashram. Okay, all that's going on there, and then you've got the Buddhism, which is really what I call a reactionary religion to Hinduism, because in history that's exactly what happened. Is that Buddhism was Hinduism was seen as a failure in India at a certain time. Maybe it still is today. And so Buddhism cropped up as a response to the fact that even the ascetics I'm going to cut you loose on this in one sec. Even the ascetics in India, whether it be north or south, and I mean, they're more devout in the north, I believe, up in Kashmir and Srinagar and up in that area, from my studies, that's at least what I saw, as more so than in the south toward Bombay. But anyway, I don't want to argue that. The fact of the matter is Hinduism was seen as a failure, so Buddhism cropped up and actually got going in India and then left India. And Hinduism came back. So it was this big struggle between the two, and I suppose now the thing that's giving Hinduism a run for its money is Islam.
Yeah, Islam's making some huge
because
headway around the world.
Because Hinduism is seen as a failure religion that kowtows to the elites and keeps the caste system in place, thank you very much. Don't think you're moving up, because we're up here at the top, and you're going to sit down there at the bottom, and we're going to give you the Bhagavad Gita, which basically says the lesson of that is, don't rock the boat, dude. It's all sacred. The way it is right now is the way God intended it. That's the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Hello?
Yeah.
You agree with that, right? I mean, you're from there, but...
Well, no, it works to maintain status quo. That's the goal. That's the, that's also, I think, some of the fears I mean, that's also partly why they don't want the gospel going into these places. Because
right.
if you have a priesthood of all believers, if you have people that can know God for themselves, and everybody's on an equal playing field with one high priest, who's Christ Jesus, that doesn't work well for maintaining what the system is that they want.
But it would work horribly in America if it ever got started here. That is Christianity. If Christianity came to America, that would really upset things.
Since
the status quo is the all-important thing, the whole churchianity movement is to use Jesus or whatever name, Martin Luther, whatever, to keep everybody in a little locked-up, mind-control position.
Yeah, you know, I really hope that at some point there's just... people would just realize that they all have equal access to God through Christ Jesus, and there is
Amen.
No one that lords over anyone else.
Amen.
You know, and if just people would grasp that reality and that truth, they could actually move on in this life with what God has for them.
And without fear. You know, without fear of being... without fearing persecution, without fearing being cast out, without fearing not being given provision, without fearing for their lives. Imagine if we just took the fear factor off of people right now. How incredible.
The signal broke up there for a second.
Now, I'm just saying that people, the Lord frees us from fear of terrestrial things like death or not having money or not having provision of some sort. In other words, when we are free, we can just go where the Lord, you know, where we feel like going, knowing that He's our protector and our provider.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, even for me, right now, what I'm in the middle of and what I've been doing, I mean, on a natural level, there's no way to put something together like this for provision and protection and all of that, but God just does it. You know, and I remember, you know, something that Jackie Pullinger said a long time ago, but she said, you know, that God, you know, he gives you manna while you're in the desert. He doesn't give it to you while you're in Egypt. You know, and it's just, and you receive that provision from the Lord when you're on the way with him. You know, as long as you're still in the world and you're looking to the world as your source, that's where you get it from.
Yeah, it's amazing how when you take that source away, that it's still, that he's there with it. Almost to just confound you to say, you see, I was here all the time. I am faithful. I made you and I am faithful to you. I know you don't believe that or you have trouble taking that leap or separating from the system because you might suffer. But then again, look at the system and look at all the people suffering in the world today.
Yeah.
Look at all these third world countries who have sold out to the West, for example. Where's their provision for having done the West favors? They get nothing. They're going to get, when it's expedient that they get something for scratching our back, then we'll give them a crumb.
Yeah.
When they don't need to do that.
No, I mean, you know, that's part of the what's so amazing is that when you look at some of these countries that are so impoverished and so beaten down, that, I mean, on a natural level, they're some of the most materially wealthy as far as natural resources and things that they can use. But it's just because of the way the system is set up and the way that it's been continued. I mean, that these countries never can get their feet underneath them.
Well, a good example is the country you're in right now, Sri Lanka. Considered
a tremendous example.
Considered a third world country that is struggling to right now with civil war, terrorism. In fact, remember when I was checking out, coming there to go surfing?
Yeah.
And don't laugh. I could surf in my 50s. It's possible. I'll take my wheelchair to the beach and then I'll take the big leap. But no. I mean, to come there to get in the ocean because I like the warm water. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's paradise there, by the way, in the Indian Ocean, warm water and beautiful beaches and all that. And then I see there's a terrorist warning for all Westerners, because a lot of the guys that go there are from the UK, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a big UK in their students, you know, the kind of backpack sort of hippie students that go there to go surfing, right? That's, there's that kind of vibe there. There's like hostels that you can stay at and all that on the, you know,
yeah,
around the island. But they say terrorist warning for everybody that's considering going on one of those beach tours or surfing tours.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have, and those will stay up for a long time, because, I mean, that's one way that these governments also just protect themselves by, you know, when somebody shows up and if anything happens, they say, well, you know, we warned you and you shouldn't come.
Right.
And so, but, I mean, this country is a classic example of a place that, I mean, Zeph, this place has everything. I mean, it has water coming out of the hills, it's got gems, it's got tea, it's got coconut, it's got rubber, it's got, I mean, you just put anything
tea,
in the ground here, it grows.
Ceylon tea?
Yeah, best tea in the world.
Best tea in the world is the absolute, considered in Britain, which was the tea purveyor to the world, considered to be the best tea in the entire world, the Ceylon tea, which is grown right there in the hills of Sri Lanka, which was Ceylon, I guess, originally.
Well, it used to, yeah, Ceylon was the colonial name that the British gave it.
Right.
They shifted it back to Sri Lanka after independence. But, yeah, this place is just a classic example of the world, you know, and really even now, the civil war that's going on, this is not some invading country, you know, coming here to try to, it's people within this country fighting each other, executing each other. I don't even see right now it's come to the point where it's not even about the cause anymore. It's purely a business. And both sides make money off the deal. And they don't want it to stop.
And the people are caught in the balance.
And the people are caught in the balance and they have no recourse. And so the bulk of people that could help the situation have either been killed off or have left. So what you have left here is thugs in the positions of political power, and the other side that they engage in this they have child soldiers going here. They have all these guys are dirty, you know.
I'm sure you could see in a third world country, you get to see the corruption's right in your face, so you can see what's covered up in the United States is just very clear when you go to a third world country.
Oh yeah,
and in fact,
if somebody does something honestly here, it's a surprise. And in fact, they don't trust those people because they say they gotta be getting something out of this somehow.
Yeah, they're just better at the game. They're fooling us somehow.
Exactly.
So they've had to make a preemptive strike and go kill their relatives or something.
Yeah. So I mean, it's amazing. Outside of really, you know, some intervention of God that just would give this place a new start, this thing could go on indefinitely here.
But around you, you have other beautiful things. I mean, you have the Maldives Islands.
Let me see. Yeah.
You've got the Maldives just to the south and west of you. You have Indonesia.
Yeah, Maldives are 400 miles to the west.
To the west and a little bit south, which is... and then to the east, you've got Indonesia and all that, and Bali and all that. To the, interestingly enough, to the north and west, you have Saudi Arabia, Oman and Yemen first, then Saudi Arabia. And then, just to put it in perspective, because I know a lot of people are not really great with geography, to the direct east, then, you have Thailand, Burma, or that's Myanmar now, Bangkok, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. And then, of course, directly to the north and on both sides, you have India, which is a huge continent. I mean, a huge country, I should say, on its own. And then further up from there, you've got Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Russia. So you're right in
the middle of it all, yeah.
you're surrounded by... on all sides with paradises and hells simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you got the deserts, you know, harsh deserts to the west and the Middle East up there. You know, you're not really that far from the Mediterranean either.
Well, it's not boring, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you could fly from there to Israel pretty simply. You know, it would be like, what, about probably a 10-hour flight?
You know, I would love to actually make that trip. I've never been to Israel yet. I want to go there sometime.
Well, let's go surfing there.
Do they got surfing out there?
Yeah. Haifa and, let's see, Tel Aviv.
Wow.
I'm all for it. Little waves, you know, little Mediterranean waves, but fun waves.
Well, yeah, that's right, because there's some Israelis that come down and surf in Sri Lanka. I met some of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, the guy that introduced it was a guy named Paskowitz, who was from California, and he was this crazy doctor that dropped out with his family. You can actually, there's a documentary on them that's out right now you can rent. But they just call him Doc, you know, and he dropped out. He said money is evil, and he moved his family to the beach and refused to work and refused to have his kids go to school. They were supposed to surf every day. So that's all they did. Then he went to Israel to take, and he would take on odd jobs as a doctor because he was a medical doctor. So he went to Israel and introduced surfing to Israel, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
And he's still around. But what's that got to do with the price of corn and Jesus Christ? Well, for the last few days, I've gone through a meltdown at watching TBN, the God TV channel, all these different things, to the point where I've had to now turn away. I can't watch. They use the same language we use, the same words. They use the same scriptures, talk out of the same book. You'd almost think they're for real.
Yeah. You know, actually, I mean, unless somebody has ears to hear and eyes to see in the spirit, they believe the strong delusion.
But I mean, they say Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Savior, and the Savior can only be God ultimately. So they make trips to Israel, and they have revivals going on in Florida, and bringing people up and kicking them in the head and saying you're healed, get up and walk, you don't have any more cancer, Jesus will heal all, everything's groovy. They do Bible studies, scripture quotes. They're very good at knowing their Bible stories, and then of course they misapply them. But unless you're very discerning, you can't catch them at being, you know, I mean, they lock it off so that no one could accuse them of ever not being perfectly biblical and perfectly sound in their doctrine and perfectly reasonable. No one could ever say that about them.
Well, and when you catch them, then they say, don't be judgmental, and judge not lest you be judged.
Well, then, I mean, I'm just like, well, then why do they even breathe air? I mean, why not just go ahead and jump to the Kool-Aid and die? I mean, you know, what's the point if, no, really, what's the point in trying to fool God?
I don't think they're thinking about God.
But they have that likeness of, well, anyway, it's a mirror image. In other words, we say it, they say it, we read it, they read it, we speak it, they speak it identically. But they're them and we're us. I mean, we know we're us and we know they're them. And then they say, oh no, you, Govinda, have to change. In other words, you have to your heart is in trouble with hatred, not ours. You have to accept. Come on down to the altar and be with us because we're with Jesus.
Yeah. I've heard a few things along those lines recently, too. We had some conversations.
Ah, yes, we did. Yeah.
You know, but the interesting thing, though, for me is, you know, I sense following the voice of the Spirit of God, since trusting that He does speak to me and that I know His voice and that I'm walking with Him, and then seeing Him be faithful in that and seeing the reality of truth being manifested in my life, and then also seeing what it is that they're in and what it is that they offer and who it is that they're about. I know the difference now. You know, they have nothing.
Well, they have money. They have money. They have lots of TV shows, and they got CCM Music, which is a billion-dollar industry. They've got the Christian bookstore industry. But all these people, when you talk to them, they quote scripture. But there's something about them that makes me sick and repulses me to the point where now I can't. It used to be the New Agers would do that to me, but I love the New Agers compared to the Christians.
Yeah, they're a lot cooler, aren't they?
Yeah. And no, but what I mean by that is nothing repulses me more than this thing where you have a mirror image going on where they're saying, you know, it's like, who's going to blink first, okay? Like a game of chicken.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, Zeph, here's something for me that it's just amazing. When you expose these guys...
That's our job.
What happens? I mean, and even like people's responses to it. Like, okay, for example, I go back into an example that's even up on FaithMix still, but one of those big names is that KP Yohannan, you know, but during the tsunami, that whole thing that happened with him was he, you know, used that fundraising window, said that the government of Sri Lanka asked him to take care of 10,000 orphans and all of this. Now, there wasn't even 10,000 orphans in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was a pretty easy one just to expose. There was like 3,000 in the whole country.
Right.
and change. But and anyways, these guys, you know. But so they just used the opportunity to, you know, raise as much money as they could, because you have about a 3-month window whenever these disasters happen where people, you know, are digging into their pocketbooks and you know, putting something out there. Nobody's right. Giving to the China earthquake anymore. That's done. I mean, so it's like, but, and I remember though too, when I exposed this stuff, I even wrote to these guys. He wrote me back. KP wrote me back, you know, and said, I'm sorry, you know, we made some mistakes and we'll change it and we'll fix it and that kind of thing. But then they just kept using this as long as they could.
Right.
And I put it out there. You know, I told people, I published, I put their letters out there, everything. And Zeph, I tell you what, people came down on me. And they were like, you know, they were hoping I was wrong. They were accusing me of stuff. I'm like, look, it's just right there. You can look at their newsletters and then go and look at the official statistics. Don't even talk to me. I'm just bringing it to light. And people just went off on me. And the thing
exactly.
is, at the end, I'm like, okay, this is simple math. This is not, you know, and then why would they do that? You know, there's only one motivation for it.
They're covering up.
And it's money. And I wrote to this, what, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA, and those guys are part of it. They're all part of it. So they put their seal of approval on one, and then you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
And if you follow any of the principles around, you would find that the lives they're leading, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, there's got to be some kind of satanic affiliation with the world system somewhere, but it's hidden, and they keep that hidden from the public.
And see, the only way that they work within their systems is that. See, if you have the systems of man, you can easily infiltrate them with the satanic. Whereas if it's God who selects, God who anoints, God who chooses his persons that he puts responsibility in, you can't control that.
Well, why
then
do
that's
you,
God.
Why do you suppose that God allows this mirror image of fakery to take over the world and then have the true church hidden? It's a two-pronged question. Why do you think that God allows that? Is it to keep his church hidden? I mean, what do you suppose the motivation is?
Well, I'm just thinking the scripture that comes to my mind is the one where, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them a powerful delusion that they believe the lie and so be damned. I mean, it's with people that don't have a heart for truth and that don't really want the real Jesus, he'll let them have the fake.
But that fake looks exactly like the real.
In their
hands. When they get on their stage and prance around, but usually they're very shallow, and usually the message is always about obedience to the church. Ultimately, they shift it from Jesus to identifying with Jesus as the church. Therefore, you need to be obedient to them, but they do it very subtly so they get away with it.
Yeah.
This is TBN,
well, you know, that, and that's
God TV.
Too, that's the curse of the law. You know, that the curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God, ultimately. That you needed an intermediary, that you needed somebody to stand between you and God and help you to be okay. And that's what Jesus took care of.
Right.
You need no man. We need no man to get to God now. There is no person that stands between us and God. There's no one else that validates
yes.
you.
That's what's great about being around brethren, because you go around the world and it's just like you're just brethren. You just, you know, hang out together. You're just like ancient friends instantly. You trust each other with your houses and your kids and all that. It's just instant. That's the way it is, but it's not that way with them. With them, they are, you know, as soon as they're off that stage, as soon as they're off that pulpit, it's the world all over again. But when they're on the stage, they talk about the world as being evil and don't get caught up in the world. They say those words, exactly that. What do they mean?
With them, it's performance, and it's performance for pay. So for them, they found a way to...
Right, that's their job.
Yeah, it's their job. So it's like, I mean, it's no different than an actor. You know, I mean, an actor's playing a role. He's just fulfilling something.
Okay.
And so because these guys couldn't make it in Hollywood, they've found a smaller stage with a smaller audience.
Well, anyway, I can't stand Christianity top on my list of things that I hate. And then I hate the little Jesus things, and I can't stand those tracts they hand out in the mall. I tell you, I got a problem right now, Govinda, and
well,
I can't.
Well, you know, the thing is, you just want to see some real ones, Zeph. I mean, you just really want to see some people that are, you know, I mean, even, you know, even for me, sometimes when people want to come over and, you know, do mission stuff and all, I mean, you want to, it would be nice to see somebody show up that, you know, is, I mean, a strong one, somebody that knows him, you know, not...
Well, you can do ministry without being overt. You could show up, but I could show up there, for example, me and Trish at your place, and we could just go on a walk. And that's missionary. That's ministry right there.
Well, just being light in the darkness is so many times just affects things.
So that's why they have to do something and put on a concert or put on an event to sell their books, but also to cover up the fact that they don't have anything. In themselves,
yeah.
To show off. They got nothing there. Like if I saw a guy like Todd Bentley, you see him prancing around the stage, he'd just be another guy. You wouldn't look at him and go, oh, he's got the Holy Spirit. You know, but that's the Florida. I don't want to get caught up in that. I said, I'm not going to focus on that. I don't want to get caught up in specific people, because I did get a word about this, about the solution, which is we're just going to have to keep our eyes on Jesus and just tune it out all the more now.
Yeah.
I mean, after today, after this interview.
Well, and you know, and I don't know too much about Todd Bentley or all that's going on over there.
That's a God TV. That's their big...
I call it... It's GOG TV, G-O-G.
Yeah, GOG TV, that's their big scam.
Yeah.
And he's like the evangelist du jour, you know, the kind of biker tattooed evangelist guy, and... It's tied in with the Kansas City Prophet movement, if you know anything about that. Toronto Airport. There's a whole lineage of these people that come along. And if you really trace this movement back, it goes back to, all the way back to like the, these revivals that went back through the Depression, then through the early part of this country, the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, false prophets in LA in the 60s. The sort of William Branagh thing, and that the Kansas City there's like a legacy that goes along that vets these people, and they come forth, and they're just like a band of criminals and liars, as far as I'm concerned, if anyone even talks to me about that as being real, then I know that they're not real. So then goodbye.
Mm. Yeah, you know, if it's not serving the purpose of pointing people to Jesus Christ, to walk with him for themselves, to know him for themselves, then it's really, you know, then I'm wondering.
Come on down here. Yeah, it's come on down here and get some. Get some. Come on down. You got to come down the stage. get the impartation. And then that, by the way, Govinda, that then is transferable. We're going to give you a transferable guarantee that the impartation and anointing you get from coming down to the revival, you can transfer that to the church of your choice.
Yeah.
Just remember that. So, you know, that means the pastors who feel a little dry, like this is just a job and they don't really believe anymore, they can come down, get the impartation, take it back to their church because it's transferable.
Yeah.
And they're even going to give you a written guarantee.
The reason they feel dry is they're out of position with God in the first place, and he never called them to be pastors. So
that's perfect. I cannot.
No, I mean, seriously, the reason they feel dry is because they're outside of the vine. They're outside of position with Christ Jesus. He never told them to be pastors. They should have quit that a long time ago. He had something completely different for them. But they fell victim to the mind control of the church, which says if you love God and you want to serve him, you either have to be a pastor or you have to be a missionary. And so there's one of two failed options that neither of them God called them to be. And so they ended up trying to be a pastor, and they're hurting a lot of people. So the reason they feel dry is because they were never called to do that in the first place.
And, I mean,
the best thing that they,
Well, I was just going to say, the people that if the audience out there in the church only knew what the pastor was like, you know, like the Ted Haggard syndrome, if you only knew, and what gave rise to Ted Haggard? He wasn't supposed to do that in the first place, period.
Yeah.
And now they say they can never restore him. So finally they're saying he's unrestorable. Well, that's not true either. But that's just because he has a real political problem that they can't handle. I.e., he had anal sex and the church can't handle that. That is a sin they can't handle. You know, you understand that. That's like if you've had anal sex, that's it. You're ruined for life. Anal sex is something the church can't handle. You can be tolerated like, oh, he used to be gay, and now, you know what I mean? But you could never really be an elder or a pastor or trusted. There's a stigma, and I think the reason I believe there's a stigma is because the church is the sort of, well, I'm going to get in dangerous territory. Go ahead, Govinda. Anything else?
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm going to say there's some sort of embarrassment over that particular sin, if you will, some kind of embarrassment that goes to almost like Lady Macbeth, out, damn spot. You know, there's a reason they're pointing their finger at all the gay people, saying you people are going to hell. The evangelical church, I'm talking about now, and then a reason Ted Haggard, you know, went that way, and the reason he can't be restored. Because technically, as far as I'm concerned, if the Lord dealt with his heart, he's restored right now. He's brother right now. I mean, all he did was basically lie. That was the main sin. He was leading a double life. He was being an adulterer. That was the main sin. What form it took didn't matter, but they want to take on, and they focus on that because they feel shame about that, because my feeling about it is that they're tied in with some reality that they're ashamed of, that they're not admitting.
Yeah.
And if you get, see what I mean? And they don't want anyone to ever think that there are, God forbid, sodomites running around in the church.
Oh, there's plenty of those running around in the church.
Well, there's plenty of those running around everywhere, people that, but see this focus on the term sodomite and the negative connotation. In other words, they're not even human beings. They're aberrations of human beings. That kind of dehumanization that goes on. And then same with if someone's done meth. There's a dehumanization that you're a meth, that you're a speed freak. And if you've done both, like Haggard did, there is no restoration. And I predicted that back then. People were saying, oh, no, he'll be restored in a couple of years. I said, no, he will never be restored. Ever. Jimmy Swaggart was semi-restored because he just had some hookers, but they were females. And God doesn't differentiate. I mean, it's like disobedience is disobedience. What does it matter what form it takes? But in that church, see, here's the telltale thing. There's no forgiveness for, quote, sodomy, end quote, but there is forgiveness for, say, lying. Well, in the Bible, there's no forgiveness for lying, but there is forgiveness for anything else. In other words, you lie to the Holy Spirit, you get taken out. But anyway, I could go on and on.
It's the hierarchy. I mean, it's the hierarchy in the number of. I mean, the world is built on hierarchy, and it's including a hierarchy of sins. So you have the world system where you get in. The caste system is another hierarchy. The hierarchy of sins. Mm-hmm. There's the. It's just the whole thing manifests in different shapes and forms. But
it's just like if I told a Jew, if I said to a Jew, "Hey, Adolf Hitler is forgivable. God wants to forgive Adolf." They'd say, well, then I want to be a Satanist. And in other words, they would have nothing to do with it. God demands that if someone repents, that we accept them as brother or sister.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe he did right before he died.
And repent doesn't have to be about specific things. You know, it can just be repent for being not attentive to the truth. You see what I mean? In other words, I was inattentive to the truth, but now I obey the truth. That's the repentance I'm talking about. The rest of it doesn't matter if you do something or if you kill someone or if you, you know, it's all the same. If you lie or kill someone or have sex, God forbid, you know, that's the worst sin. And for people in the West. But interestingly enough, when you get to places like Tahiti and other cultures that are more not so hung up on sex, like France would be, it's weird, like, that kind of emphasis on sex isn't there, and that makes it actually easier, but then the emphasis is on other things. Like, if it isn't about sex, it could be about coveting money or something. So, I don't know. I just know that all of us are wicked. All of us have a human heart. We have a struggle. Each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just need a savior.
That's what we need.
You know, and it's just... And that's the thing, too, is people, everybody's at a different place. Everybody's got their own struggle. Everybody has their own thing that they've got to come clean before God with. And so it's just really being honest before Him and just saying, Lord, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. And you know, and with that, if whatever it is, He'll work with us, you know.
One of the top sins in the Bible is fearfulness. That's like one of the top worst things you can do, because in the book of Revelation it says that the fearful and unbelieving, it starts off with that they're going to be, you know, cast into the fire, that they would be cut off, the fearful and unbelieving. And then it goes on about sorcerers and idolaters, but first it starts with the fearful. That's really on God's mind as something that's really, really horrific. And that would be a great sin to repent for if we could, but I think the church is fearful.
Well, and that's really, I think, a big thing, too, that keeps people from following God for themselves.
Revelation 21:8, by the way. The fearful, the unbelieving, abominable murderers. Murder comes after being fearful.
Yeah.
And that, you want to talk about hierarchy? Fearful and unbelieving is worse than murder.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just if people would just trust God enough and just give Him that place and just the chance to be show Himself real in their lives, you know. Because the other thing too is you know, if you just take that step, you find out that He's there. And He puts you on an amazing adventure. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you don't, you just stay in the illusion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it says that in the end, God will wipe away all the tears.
Yeah.
And there will be no more death.
Looking forward to that.
but then He goes, but the fearful and unbelieving, and then the laundry list after that, will have their part in what's called the second death.
Yeah.
And that second death to me just means... When you sell out to the world totally, then that's, you've cut yourself off. That's really what the second, when you've consciously cut yourself off, that's the second death. That's what I've been able to discern over the years in terms of pondering that one scripture. A lot of people say, what's the second death? And I just say, I believe it's when you go past the point of no return, that's the second death. There is a point of no return.
Yeah.
Just like there's a point with the world of no return, where the world really accepts you. I think once you finally cross that Rubicon or whatever, that magical line, whatever that is. It's called the second death in the Bible, what could be called the point of no return by the world.
Yeah.
People can make a big study out of it if you want, but it means once you've gotten to the point of the second death, that's it. You know, there really isn't any more, that's it, let's move on. In other words, as God made many references to wheat from the chaff, separating the sheep from the goats, you know, the wine press of wrath of God, the pruning of the tree, right, the pruning of the vines, that sort of things.
Yeah.
So God's not really focused so much on what's lost. He's concentrating on what's there. He's pruning so that which is there will grow all the stronger. So if you have if you're going to make omelets, you got to break some eggs. You don't lament the eggshells because you got to toss them out.
Yeah,
oh my God!
The eggshells serve a purpose.
I don't think he laments any. I think he's focused so much on the love he has for his own that when those seeds, another metaphor, when those seeds that he plants don't come up, he just cuts them away and prunes them so that the ones that are taking root can grow strong.
Yeah.
And it's a constantly weeding out process.
Yeah, and it's going full bore right now around the world. I pray, you know, that God's people hold on, you know, and that they hold on through what's coming up right now.
Oh, there's a lot lost with the Olympics who have now repented. Now, there is the repentance with the world. So there's a lot, like, say, with the world who are now repenting to the world. And the world is saying, it's okay, you can be a pastor. It's okay, you can be a Christian. Just give your real allegiance to me. And look how beautiful the world. See, you were mistaken. The world isn't really evil like you thought. So just come to me and I'll make you somebody.
If people knew what went into making the Beijing Olympics, how many thousands of people, tens of thousands of people were displaced by their own government in that city, their houses taken away from them to build. Where do you think they built that stadium? You know, you think that ground wasn't occupied before that?
It was occupied, and they mowed it under. They plowed it all under.
They just moved the people out. Tens of thousands of people that were living in those areas, and people that own houses. So say you own a house for, if it's worth $100,000, and they show up and they say we'll give you $5,000, and you need to move out in 2 weeks. And if you're out there, then they come back and they throw out all your stuff. And if you try to make a problem, then they arrest you, and then they put you in jail. I mean, that place, all of the stuff that's set up there, it didn't just people, a lot of people were pushed out of their places to make space for that whole thing.
Well, in Denver, they're going to move the homeless out for the convention.
which convention is this one?
The Democrat convention, I believe.
In
the Democratic convention in Denver that's coming up. They promised no homeless hanging around, just like with the Republican convention in New York City, that they move them out.
Yeah,
they don't want
their detached from American politics these days.
Well, there is no, probably if we get into a great war. The other thing I have to mention during this talk is, yes, the warships are moving, as we talked about in the very beginning of the hour. The warships are moving. The diversion of Georgia, though 2,000 Georgians are dead and counting, is really a diversion created by the U.S. military, I believe. It's a grand chess game involving tying up Russia with Georgia so that possibly there's a room for a strike regarding Iran. All this stuff is in the works while the Olympics is going on, and it's just amazing. And then, of course, don't worry, at your local revival and your local church, they'll be saying how great the government is and singing Amazing Grace. So don't worry your pretty little head about it anymore.
Yep. And be going up to the altar to get healed from all the toxic foods they've been pumping into your body for the last 5 years.
And also the medicines that make you sick.
And the medicines.
Yeah, it's so toxic right now that, people used to live a lot longer than they do today. But thanks to modern medicine, they die a lot sooner.
Well, and in the process of killing them off, they drain you of any penny that you got left.
And they harvest your organs.
Yep, that they do.
So you're
Here's another one for you, Zeph.
Okay.
In China, this is another one I've been finding out about recently. Every year now, the government is doing, I think they might even take about 50,000 of their own people. I have to find out what the exact number was again. But you can get organ transplants pretty easily on the open market in China. So people are flying. Actually, I think Australia even banned this finally, where they said if you go to China to get an organ transplant, you get arrested when you come back to Australia. Because people were flying to China, and then the police were grabbing people. You know, so that somebody would fly to China and say, okay, well, I need the kidneys, you know, or something like that. I'm like, okay, you know, well, and then they give them the profile and they give them the match. Then they go to the jail, the police go to the jail, grab somebody that's got the match, take them to the hospital. They give the hospital, so say it's like $100,000 for the kidneys. Police, it's like $200,000. The person that sets it up gets $100,000. The cops get $70,000. The hospital gets $30,000. Then they bring in the prisoner, and then they harvest that guy's organs and give it to somebody that flew in for organ transplant.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So you have an open market going on for that as well.
With live bait, with live subjects, which are the prisoners who disobeyed the government.
Exactly.
So they've got a perfect industry going there. And that's
a huge industry.
And that's the level you've got, and that's what's happening while the Olympics are going on. Don't you feel that you love the Chinese now?
Well, and you know, the thing is, though, too, is like the vast majority of people in China don't like the system that's there. They don't like the governments that they're there. But they're under huge control. I mean, there's the government that's there has amazing control.
I should have said, don't you love the Chinese system now? But don't worry. Don't worry, because that same system is coming to the United States, and it's already the underpinnings of communism and socialism and spiritual fascism are already laid in right here. Don't pay attention to what's going on in the world. Remember, you've got this new religion's coming in, this new kind of ecumenical movement that will be coming up after a great battle, after a great trauma, so that people will be very hungry for things of the spirit, and then you'll get that. They'll get you coming, they'll get you going, they'll kill you, they'll scalp you after your death, they'll scalp you while you're alive. To get through that and run the whole race and actually survive, you have to have Jesus Christ, you have to have that power, you have to have His grace, His glory, because without that, you cannot survive. Literally, you will not survive. Period.
Yeah. There's never any different. Just the reality of it will be a lot more pronounced.
Thank God. Well, Govinda, anything else?
Yeah.
Anything else today?
I just pray for people that are listening in. I just pray that God blesses you and that you just walk strong with Him, because you know, that really is the only game in town that's worth playing. That's the only team that's worth playing on, I should say.
True, and even though we have sufferings and we sometimes talk about how hard it is, I mean, you know, being shunned and all that, it's still the only way to go in the end. I mean, it's just mind control that makes you feel shunned. It's not real. You're not really shunned. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Come on. You can't get any better than that. You're welcome. You're acceptable. You've made it.
And hey, we love you too.
Yeah, we love you too. Okay. Okay. Stay right there, Govinda. And folks, we could go on with this. And maybe if we ever do a telethon, or rather a radioathon, we'll get Govinda on, and we'll just go, you know, for 24 hours. Just
kidding. That'd be fun.
And get people
to
call.
God bless everybody out there.
Okay, stay there.
Keep on. All right.
All right. Folks, thank you for joining us. That was our good friend Govinda from Sri Lanka. Faith Mix. Don't forget to check out Faith Mix, F-A-I-T-H. I have to spell it for you? No. Faith Mix, just as it sounds, .com. And you could also write to me, Zeph, Z, Channel Z, No Religionistas, The Zeph Report, which is how we go on our new shortwave show. But you can always drop me a line, and we love to get your letters and postcards. We didn't read them this last time. We have a lot of new ones. Thank you. But just go ahead and send it to 5 Bisbee Court, 5 BISBEE, 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. And, we will get it. And that's about all I can do. I should have some sort of, music cue, that I go out on. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm working on something now that's pretty funny. It kind of shows my age a little bit, but it's a track that involves me imitating, singers of old. All right. No music. I'm just going to go and get out of here. You be good. God bless you, each one of you, and I pray for your healing, for your well-being, for all the things that you need, for your vision, for your insights, for dreams, for an anointing, for a comfort, for those of you hurting, for comfort and faith. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, and I'll see you next time.